En Family Dollar sabemos que quieres más para disfrutar tu verano. Por eso encontrarás más en cada tienda. Encuentra todo lo que necesitas para refrescar y consentir a tu familia, como nuestra gran variedad de helados, postres congelados, snacks y bebidas de tus marcas favoritas. Y todo lo que necesitarás después de un poco de desorden, como los productos de limpieza y lavandería a un gran precio y en un solo lugar. Family Dollar, te ayudamos a hacer más. En Family Dollar sabemos que quieres más para disfrutar tu verano. Por eso encontrarás más en cada tienda, como nuestra gran variedad de helados y postres congelados para refrescar y consentir a tu familia. Family Dollar, te ayudamos a hacer más.
At Family Dollar, we know you want more to enjoy your summer. That's why you'll find more in every store. Everything you need to treat and refresh your family. Like our assortment of ice cream, frozen treats, snacks, and drinks from the brands you love. And everything you'll need if things get a little messy, like cleaning supplies and laundry products, all in one convenient place at great value. Family Dollar, helping you do more.
Everybody, I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of At the Rim. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around in the NBA. Coming up on this edition of the program, we'll have comments from the media presser before Game 3 of the 2022 NBA Finals. I want to start off with my top three storylines. I like to start off with the city of Boston. So the series has now shifted to Beantown for games 3 and 4 of this 2022 NBA Finals series. When you think of the city of Boston, Boston blue-collar, working class, home to some very prestigious Ivy League institutions, also known for its sports teams, also some cultural things as well from its music, and also some food staples as well. And of course, when you think of Boston, you think of the Celtics. You think of names like Russell and Cousy and Havlicek and Heinsohn and Jones and Collins and White, and also, of course, Bird, McHale, Parrish, Ainge, Dennis Johnson. You also think about names such as Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, just to name a few. And the city of Boston has been the city of champions for a long time, not just with the Celtics, but their other sports teams as well. Currently, the Celtics and the Lakers are both tied for 17 NBA championships. And, of course, when you think of the Celtics, you think of a team that is up there with those major sports franchises in popularity, like the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers and the Edmonton Oilers and the New York Yankees, just to name a few. The city of Boston prides itself on being blue-collar, being tough, having that strong work ethic. It's reflected not just in their lifestyle, but also, more importantly, it's reflected in their sports franchises. And also Boston Strong. Boston Strong was the tagline that was used some time ago when the Boston Marathon bombing had happened. And when the marathon came back a year later, it became a symbol of pride in the city of Boston being Boston Strong. So the city of Boston is going to be geared up for these next couple of games in the 2022 NBA Finals. And I tell you what, one of the premier, not just venues in the NBA at TD Bank Garden, but also just one of the premier cities for professional sports, the city of Boston. My next storyline is going to be the Boston Celtics. So now the series is currently tied at one game apiece, and as the series shifts to Boston for games 3 and 4, the Celtics are going to have to get their act together. Game 2 was not pleasant at all. You could see Jason Tatum. Yeah, Jason scored over 20 points, but it just wasn't enough. Jaylen Brown, nowhere to be found. Derek White was suspect. Al Horford, nowhere to be found. Marcus Smart, nowhere to be found. And as I mentioned about the raucous crowd at a Boston Celtics game, the C's have got to step it up and they've got to get their act together if they want to perform well in front of this home, front of the home crowd in Boston for these next couple of home games. The Celtics, I'm pretty sure they'll get it together. Jason Tatum, he's going to get it together. Jaylen Brown, they'll get it together. I think Al Horford and Marcus Smart will play better now that the series will shift to the East Coast in Boston. And for my last storyline is going to be the Golden State Warriors. So now I talked about Boston making the transition from west to east. Golden State also has to make that transition from west to east as well. The Warriors came out on top in game two, blowing away the Celtics. I tell you what, they didn't just beat them, they blew them away in game two. But now the Warriors are going to have to try to keep that same environment at one of the most raucous crowds in all of the NBA, at one of the dynamic sports cities in Boston. Will Steph continue his dominance? I mean, in game one, he scored over 30 points. In game two, he got close to 30 points. But the question is, Klay Thompson. Klay has been very slow in these first two NBA Finals games. Will games three and four be the games where we'll see Klay Thompson be Klay and go back to the Klay of the old, being one of the Splash Brothers? And what about Draymond Green? We know Celtic fans throughout the years, that team has had with the rivalries with the Los Angeles Lakers and the Philadelphia 76ers, just to name a few. Celtic fans have a tendency to really get on opposing players, and Draymond Green will be no exception to the rule, as Celtic fans will try to heckle him and do everything they can to try to distract him. So the Warriors, they've got a lot riding on them in these next couple of games, adjusting to the time zone difference and adjusting to the fans in the city of Boston. It's definitely going to be a lot, and the Warriors have a lot on their sleeve, and they're going to have a whole lot to work with. When we come back from the break, I'll give you comments from the media presser before Game 3 of the 2022 NBA Finals involving the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
This summer, get road trip ready with the brake experts at Midas. With up to $100 back on two-axle brake service when you use your Midas credit card. So you can make sure every stop on your road trip is one you want to make. Request your appointment today at Midas.com. This summer, get road trip ready with the brake experts at Midas. With up to $100 back on two-axle brake service when you use your Midas credit card. So you can make sure every stop on your road trip is one you want to make. Request your appointment today at Midas.com. This summer, get road trip ready with the brake experts at Midas. With up to $100 back on two-axle brake service when you use your Midas credit card. So you can make sure every stop on your road trip is one you want to make. Request your appointment today at Midas.com.
Okay, so we have the car payment, the rent, utilities,
and the repair bill.
What should we do?
I know. I'm going to CashNetUSA.com. I can apply in minutes, get an instant decision, and if approved, we could have the money in our account as soon as the same business day.
When you need money fast, be the hero. Go to CashNetUSA.com to apply for the money you need now. The exact timing as to when your loan funds will be available will be determined by your banking institution.
If you have bills and debt piling up, a personal loan through NetCredit can provide funding up to $10,000 to help you get back on track if eligible. Visit NetCredit.com today. All NetCredit loans and lines of credit are offered by a member of the NetCredit family of companies or one of our lending partners. Visit NetCredit.com/partners for more information. If you have bills and debt piling up, a personal loan through NetCredit can provide funding up to $10,000 to help you get back on track if eligible. Visit NetCredit.com today. All NetCredit loans and lines of credit are offered by a member of the NetCredit family of companies or one of our lending partners. Visit NetCredit.com/partners for more information.
This summer, get road trip ready with the brake experts at Midas. With up to $100 back on two-axle brake service when you use your Midas credit card. So you can make sure every stop on your road trip is one you want to make. Request your appointment today at Midas.com. This summer, get road trip ready with the brake experts at Midas. With up to $100 back on two-axle brake service when you use your Midas credit card. So you can make sure every stop on your road trip is one you want to make. Request your appointment today at Midas.com.
Seize the day. Wouldn't you rather freeze it? Now you can. Because now, when you order anything off the McDonald's app, you can get a medium frozen drink free. Like the frozen Fanta Blue Raspberry or Wild Cherry. It's the freeze for all deal. Now get a free medium frozen drink when you order anything off the McDonald's app. One time use only through 7/3/22 at participating McDonald's. McDonald's app download and registration required.
planning your next Disney vacation for the summer? Visit Undercover Tourist, the trusted name in theme park tickets. Get into the park you love for less. Save up to $82 per ticket to the Walt Disney World Resort. With a hotel or a car rental addition, you can save up to 30% off your order. Visit undercovertourist.com/podcast for the lowest prices on all Walt Disney World Resort tickets. Plus, Undercover Tourist offers a 365-day refund guarantee. That's undercovertourist.com/podcast.
It's the Faves You Crave deal. Now, get an icy cool upgrade when you get 4 for $4 at Mickey D's. For a limited time, get a medium frozen Fanta Blue Raspberry or frozen Coke at no extra cost. Now you can get a juicy McDouble, crispy four-piece chicken McNuggets, small fries, and medium frozen drink for just $4. Get more of what you love with 4 for $4 at Mickey D's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
There's better to be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergens.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
Everybody, welcome back to the program. So again, let's recap game two of the 2022 NBA Finals between the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors. Golden State would beat Boston 107-88. For Golden State, Steph Curry had 29 points. Jordan Poole finished with 17 points. Kevon Looney had 12 points. Andrew Wiggins and Klay Thompson had 11 points. Draymond Green finished with 9 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists. And on the losing side for Boston, Jason Tatum had 28 points. Jaylen Brown finished with 17 points. And Derek White finished with 12 points. Again, the final score in Game 2, the Golden State Warriors 107, the Boston Celtics 88. The series is now tied at one game apiece. So now the series shifts to Boston. Now we trek to the East Coast now for Game 3 between the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. And now we have comments from the media presser before Game 3 of the 2022 NBA Finals. Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, of course, has done a great job since he's been at the helm for the Warriors. And Steve giving his thoughts on the approach for Game 3 against the Celtics.
I think just our playoff experience, our guys understand the importance of making sure you don't let your guard down, you know, in that first playoff game. So I would expect tomorrow to be really competitive right from the start. We know they're going to bring a level of physicality you know, that we brought last game, and we got to be prepared for that. And I think, yeah, should be a great game.
It'll be a great game. Again, that audio courtesy of the NBA. So like Coach Kerr was saying, they've got to be more physical as the series shifts to Boston now. They've got to be more physical. They've got to be strong. They've got to be more tough because they're going to be playing in a very hostile environment. And I mentioned his name earlier, Draymond Green. I tell you what, Draymond is the motor. He's the mouthpiece. He's the engine that runs for the Golden State Warriors. We have several audio bits from Draymond. This first one comes from him talking about defensive strategy and physical play against the Boston Celtics.
Well, I think there's an increased priority in protecting the paint because three-point shooting is so good. And so it goes back to the Steph Curry effect. If you can constantly get into someone's paint, then it opens up, the world opens up. The three-point shots open up. And that's what everyone wants to take away in today's day and age. And then, you know, I think the game's just much more athletic than it was before. Guys are more athletic, and, you know, it's just way tougher. Like, Jason Tatum's 6'10", 6'11", wherever he is. He's 2'3". Like, Kevin Durant's 7 feet. He's just really a 2'3". Like, yes, in the way the game has changed, you take Kevin Durant's a 3'4". Kevin Durant started his career as a 2. And so when you look at that, the overall length of guys in this league, and then you couple that with athleticism, and it just makes it so much tougher to get to the rim and finish. And I think that's a huge change in this game. And then also, you know, teams are hunting more threes. And so even the priority for most teams, it is to get in the lane and kick out for a three, as opposed to getting to the lane and finishing at the rim, or getting to the lane and getting to your mid-range. It's to get there and kick out, and I think that adds to the drop as well. I just thought it was something that we need to bring. You know, you get to the NBA Finals, and physicality and you know, meeting force with force is important. And so it's just something that you have to bring to this game. I thought, you know, when I looked back at game one, when I watched the film, and even just how I felt, I just didn't think they felt us enough. And you can't get to this stage, to, you know, to this level, and the reason you lose is because a team didn't feel you. You know, that's a shame. You know, you have to lose once you get to this level because a team was just better than you. And I wouldn't be able to sleep with myself, I wouldn't be able to live. I wouldn't be able to live with myself. If I'm going on about my summer and we lost the NBA Finals because we couldn't meet force with force. And so I think that was just kind of it for me. And understanding that, like I said, that is my department. That's where I'm supposed to lead, and I can't let my guys down.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the NBA, and you heard him. Draymond never always playing with passion, always playing with a lot of heart. And like he said, he doesn't want to let his guys down because – If they lose this series, it's going to be, like he said, it's going to be a long summer to think about what went wrong and getting back to the drawing board. And he talked about the defensive strategy in terms of defending Jason Tatum and the other players for the Celtics, especially because we know a lot of those Celtics big men are two-way players with Tatum and Al Horford and Jaylen Brown. And talked about the physical play as well. And Draymond, we know that, as I mentioned, he's the mouthpiece, he's the motor of the Warriors, and he's definitely someone that is never in a loss for words, not just off the court, but on the court as well. He talks about the art of trash talking, and he also mentions a young player that shows him a lot of respect, but they disrespect him at the same time by trash talking. Here's Draymond.
There is an art to trash talking. If you grew up in Saginaw, Michigan, it's naturally given to you. And so for me personally, growing up the way I did, you can't survive if you can't talk on the court. You go out there quiet if you want to. You play as good as you want. If you're quiet, they're going to think you're soft. They're going to keep trying to bully you. And so that's just kind of the way I learned. for a young guy to, I think there's a balance, right? Like, I'm assuming you're talking Grant Williams. Of course you are. I think when you see that, when you see a guy say, man, I grew up watching him, you appreciate it. Because, you know, that's why you work. You work to create a path for the next young guy. Like, my goal when I came in here was to create a path for Grant Williams. And so to hear him say that, it's an honor. Like, and so I don't take that for granted one bit. When a guy comes and starts, when you say that and then you start talking junk to me, then yes, I'm going to say something about that, of course. But, like, I didn't say anything about that game one because he wasn't talking to me. Like, I'm not going to go watch his press conference where he gives me props, where he appreciates my game, and then go throw it in his face. Like, that's whack to me. Like, I'm not doing that. That's just not how I roll. LeBron James, when I was wearing LeBron James sneakers in my first 1, 2, 3 years and playing against him, he didn't throw in my face like, dude, you got on my sneakers. This is just not something you do. Once he start going at me and it got chippy and, you know, he's yap, and all right, bro, like, you can't say that and then come and say this, like, that just doesn't add up to me. So then you just go wherever you got to go. And for me, that's where I'm going. Do I feel like, nah, man, I shouldn't have said that. That was too, nah, it's the heat of the battle. You know, you out there on the court, you get to feel sorry for him or yourself if you want to. It's going to turn on you. So, no, you just keep it moving. I'm also someone who, you know, things happen on the basketball court. Things are said on the basketball court. It's the basketball court. I then leave the basketball court. I go home to my life, my normal life. But, you know, I am not one that's like, oh, man, such and such did this on the court, and now I need to fill away. Like, it's the basketball court.
Again, that audio courtesy of the NBA. And like Draymond said, it's just he leaves it all on the court, off the court. He's just a normal person. But, man, Draymond Green, certainly one of the premier trash talkers in the NBA, not just defenders but trash talkers as well. And I'll tell you one thing, you don't want to disrespect Draymond because he'll definitely give it to you and then some. And continuing with Draymond, not just with trash talking, but also he was asked about who inspired him to trash talk, and he made some interesting comments about the physical play of the 1980s and 1990s NBA. Here's Draymond.
No, I think it just comes from growing up in Saginaw, playing at Vest Park, playing at the Civitan Recreation Center. Obviously, in growing up, I watched guys like Gary Payton, Rasheed Wallace. You know, I watched all those guys and how they went about their business. Dennis Rodman, like, you know, seen those guys over the years, and I have a huge appreciation for Uncle Oak. You know, how he enforced things. Like, that's a part of the game. Like, that is a skill. And so I have a huge appreciation for those guys. I saw what Cedric Maxwell said. And, you know, one thing that baffles me about the 80s or the 90s or whatever you want to call when basketball was so much more physical is some of the guys that be talking weren't the guys that was punching people. You know, like, like they act like, you know, guys was just walking around the court like, I'm hitting this guy in the nose. There were a few guys back then that would lay you out, that would knock you out, that would foul you and get thrown out the game, Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn. But everybody running around acting like they were that, y'all were getting bullied. Like, and so it baffles me when every guy, just because they played in the 80s, just because they played in the 90s, is like, man, if you played in our day, you get knocked out. Like, no, not really, because it wouldn't be you. So, okay, you saying Rick Mahorn would have knocked me out. Rick Mahorn probably knocks you out. Like, Bill Laimbeer probably lays you out. So were there enforcers of that time? Of course. Would they have knocked you out? Of course. Their fine was also $2. Like, you know, it's just not the same day and age. If I go knock somebody out, I probably could find $1 million. Like, it just don't work the same. And so you know, when guys get to making these comparisons or talking about, oh, if you played in this day and age, like, yeah. And if you played in this day and age, you would have had to be way more skilled than you were. And it's just different, you know? Like comparing the physicality to the game and everybody acting like they were just the most physical and brutal enforcers. It's like everybody acting like they shoot the ball like Steph Curry today. You know, it's like then it was physical. Now it's shooting. Everybody can't shoot the ball. Imagine me in 20 years, like, man, if you played in my day, you had to shoot. Guys did shoot better and more. But that don't mean you shot that well. Like, and so it just baffles me when guys get out here talking and they ain't got, you know, we got YouTube and you can pull up them highlights and they ain't got no YouTube fights. Like, you see them on the court getting bullied, but they talking about you would have got punched in the face. These people be killing me. Y'all enjoy y'all day.
All right, that's Draymond Green. Again, never a dull moment with him talking about who inspired him to trash talk. Of course, he talks about his life growing up in Saginaw, Michigan, playing at the parks and rec centers. And, of course, an interesting take that he talked about with the physical play of the 1980s and 1990s. Let me speak on as far as the physical play is concerned. The game has changed from the 80s and the 90s until now. 80s and the 90s, defense was more physical because there was hip checking and there was also hand checking as well. And it wasn't an offensive prolific league at that particular time. Again, offense was important, but it was more of a defensive-minded league during the 80s and the 90s. Again, as I mentioned earlier, with hip checking, and you could also hand check your defenders as well. So I don't know, Draymond is kind of maybe treading on thin ice a little bit when he made mentions to Bill Laimbeer and Rick Mahorn. But again, Draymond Green, never in a loss for words at expressing how he feels. And he mentioned about his teammate that he's been with for a long time, and that's Steph Curry, one of the premier shooters, one of the greatest scorers, one of the greatest players in NBA history when it's all said and done. Playing an NBA Finals game in the city of Boston is extremely important, and it's monumental. Steph talked about playing an NBA Finals game in Boston.
This is especially like this. The historic team, the dynasties from, you know, the 80s and how many championships they won, you know, over the course of the years. All the different highlights you watch that just have a different iconic look when you see it on TV. You know, just watching Larry Legend do what he did in his entire career. Even looking at the Boston-LA series, KG and, you know, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Rondo getting the championship here. KG's hilarious post game. Anything is possible, whatever. So there's a lot of history in this city and in this building, and should be an amazing atmosphere, you know, out there on the court.
All right, that audio courtesy of the NBA, and I mentioned it at the beginning of the show when Steph mentioned it as well about the history of playing an NBA Finals game in Boston, just NBA Finals history in the city of Boston, whether it be at the old Boston Garden with memories of Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and Robert Parrish, Danny Ainge, the late Dennis Johnson. Can't forget about Bill Walton and Magic Hebane at the old Garden, as well as with Bill Russell, Bob Cousy, also Tom Heinsohn. Can't forget about John Havlicek and, of course, Sam Jones and JoJo White and Dave Cowens. And Steph even mentioned about at the TD Bank Garden with Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and, of course, with Kevin Garnett being in excitement saying anything is possible. So Steph understands the history of not just playing an NBA Finals game in Boston, but he just understands the history of the NBA, and he's definitely going to be – he currently is one of the greats of all time and will be continue to add on to those many accomplishments whenever he decides – to hang it up. All right, let's move along now to the other side with the Boston Celtics. Jaylen Brown, one of the top players, not just in the NBA, but in this final series as well. Jaylen talks about defending Warriors guard Klay Thompson.
I think he's just missing shots. We're going to continue to make it tough for him, but that player, he can get it going at any moment, so we're aware of that. And we're trying to, you know, prepare ourselves to make sure that doesn't happen. But we got to do a better job, to be honest. We're not doing a good enough job on Klay Thompson. He can get it going at any moment.
All right, that audio again, courtesy of the NBA. And Klay Thompson has struggled so far in this series, but Jalen knows that he can't let his guard down, because when you have one of the Splash Brothers out there, you let your guard down, you know what happens. Klay gets on a hot streak, it's over with. So Jaylen Brown has saying he's got to do a better job of continue to defend Warriors guard Klay Thompson. Jalen also had an opportunity to talk about head coach Ime Udoka warning him and the rest of the Celtics to not get caught up in the antics of Draymond Green.
Don't get caught up in that. Just do what we do best. You know, we ain't got time for that. So, you know, just come out and play basketball and, you know, let everything else take care of itself. Like, I'm going to come out and do my job. Everybody needs to come out and do their job. We're here to play basketball. So don't get caught up in all the antics and stuff like that. So just come out and play.
All right, that audio courtesy of the NBA. So Jalen knows that Draymond can can start stuff at any given time, you know, can be the agitator. Again, he's the engine that runs for the Warriors. He's the enforcer of that team. So Jalen knows that, and with Coach Udoka telling him and the rest of the Celtics, don't get caught up in the foolishness. Just stay focused, stay you're playing your game, and maintain your cool at all times, because, hey, that's just Draymond being Draymond. And we want to move along now to Boston Celtics forward Jason Tatum. We know Jason is all about his business, and he talks about still going about his business despite not being very talkative on the court so far in this series.
I don't know. I just go out there and play basketball, right? I'm, I guess, on the quieter side. But, you know, I do talk to people that I know, right? If I know you and we got, like, a relationship, a history, you know, on the floor, you know, I talk to you. You know, I'm all about being competitive and all those things. And, you know, if you say something to me, you know, I'm going to respond. You know, I'm not an instigator or things like that. I just go out there and play. You know, at the end of the day, it's basketball, and you got to understand what, you know, certain people are trying to do, take you off your game. But, you know, it's I love that part of it. And, you know, whether I show it or not, you know, I enjoy the competitive part, you know, the nuances and things like that. You know, that, you know, everybody may or may not see that going between the lines. You know, that's the fun part about it.
All right, that audio courtesy of the NBA. And, you know, everybody's different, and that's Jason's approach. Jason, like he said, he's more on the quieter side unless he has some familiarity with you. But Jason just going about his business and letting his play doing the talking and not getting so caught up so much in the trash talking and things of that nature. And Jason was asked about, we want to kind of shift over, we'll get back to basketball in just a little bit, but during the presser, Jason was asked about fatherhood and the impact he wants to have on his son.
When 2017, when I got drafted and had, I didn't have Deuce, but he was born in 2017. So that was a big, that was like, you know, the biggest year of my life. Right? I'm, you know, starting this new chapter in my career, and I just had a child. And my mindset was not to sacrifice either, that I was going to be the best father I could as well as the best basketball player. And there was no guideline, or there was no, you know, exact way to do it. It was all about what was natural. And I think that's what just what it is. I just do what's natural, and, you know, I'm around them every day, and, you know, I think being able to go through this journey together, because I was 19 when I got drafted, and, you know, it's kind of like we're growing up together, and as he's gotten older and I'm going through my career, sharing these moments and experiences together as, you know, as we grow up, and, you know, I think it's the coolest part for me. So I don't know if it's intentional as much as it's just natural in what we do. And I realize that I do have a platform and things like that. So if I am a role model for young fathers around the world, you know, that's great. I think we need more role models like that. Just to, you know, have more male fathers be present and things like that, and show that, you know, you can do both regardless of whatever, wherever you work or whatever your profession is.
All right, that audio courtesy of the NBA, and Jason definitely having some very important points about the importance of fatherhood, the importance of male figures in the lives of not just sons, but just in the lives of daughters, just the lives of children or someone else's children as well. And Jason definitely talking about how 2017 was an important year and a great year for him. That was the year he got drafted, and of course that was the year that his son Deuce was born. And Jason definitely with some very profound words about the importance of fatherhood and the impact he wants to have on his son, as well as being a role model in terms of fatherhood, and you can do multiple things and still achieve your dreams and still be involved in the lives of your children. And let's get back to the NBA Finals. Jason had another sound bite. He talked about his experience playing in the NBA Finals thus far.
It's been a lot. You know, this is a dream come true, you know, playing in the Finals. You know, as a competitor, you know, this is what you work for, right? You want to be the last team standing. You want to hold up that trophy. So I think to have a golden opportunity, you know, right at your fingertips, just taking full advantage of it. You know, you don't want to have any regrets, you know, when it's all said and done, you know, win or lose. You want to feel that you gave it your all, and that's all you can ask of anybody. And, you know, a lot of people want to debate. You know, I guess you just comment about the superstars, you know, whatever that means, right? I'm sure that I've seen as a huge debate, is he a superstar, is he not? I want to know where that came from. Like, did I tweet that? Did I ever say that I'm a superstar, or, you know, I'm on the verge? Like, that never came from me. But it has been a big deal this last year and a half or 2 years. And I see it all the time. And there's always been a question in the back of my head. Like, I wonder who spoke on my behalf or said that, or why that was such a big deal. But, you know, if you win a championship, they can debate a lot of things. They can debate whether or not, you know, you're a champion. So, obviously, lost the other night. And just looking forward to bouncing back tomorrow. You know, first final games at home and at the Garden. It's going to be fun. So I'm looking forward to it and enjoying this experience.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the NBA. And Jason, he says he's enjoying the experience, but, you know, the series is currently tied at one game apiece, and he's definitely going to have exude some leadership skills and become the superstar that people are saying that he is or saying that he can become, because they're going to need him for these next couple of games with the series shifting to Boston. Him along with Jaylen Brown, they're going to have to get their acts together and make things happen if they want to have a chance to win the NBA championship. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of At the Rim. Once again, a big special thank you to you, the listeners out there, for tuning into this edition of the program. I'm Ed Robinson, and you've been listening to At the Rim. So long, everyone.